This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, Whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more five-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain.
As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today.
Welcome to the Rocket Ship Podcast. I'm Joelle Goldman.
And I'm Michael Sacca. Today we had Ken Davenport of Mission Edge on. Joelle, what'd you think?
I really enjoyed this one. Hearing how they get involved with nonprofits and work with them on a lot of the business aspects that they tend to struggle with and help them achieve their mission was really interesting. And I also really enjoyed hearing about how millennials are getting involved in different ways and giving back, and how it goes much further beyond just writing a check. What do you think, Michael?
Yeah, the millennials, I hadn't quite realized it, but Ken is kind of immersed in that nonprofit area. And hearing about millennials' attitude towards giving and kind of giving back was very interesting. So, this is all about kind of the changes in the nonprofit sector. So let's get into it. Rocketship is proudly supported by
Bench is an online bookkeeping service
that provides you with tax-ready financial statements
from professional bookkeepers. Go to bench.co/rocketship to get 20% off.
20% off your first 6 months today.
Today.
Wistia is a video hosting platform built specifically for business. If you're using video as a part of your marketing strategy, you need to be able to measure its impact. Wistia is helping over 175,000 businesses do just that with premium video hosting, lead generation tools, and in-depth video analytics. For more about Wistia, visit wistia.com/rocketship.
So Ken, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And tell us a bit about Mission Edge.
Sure. So Mission Edge is based in San Diego. It's a 501c3 technically, but we really have a very much a business mentality here. Our budget is primarily fee for service derived. In other words, we make probably 95% of our operating budget on the fees that we charge, and we actually serve other nonprofits. And the concept really came about as I was a partner at Social Venture Partners, which is a venture philanthropy group, and a lot of business folks who want to give back to the community. And in that time at SVP, I started seeing that there were a lot of really great nonprofits and socially focused organizations that were long on passion and really skills in terms of understanding what problems they were trying to solve, but were getting bogged down in the realities of running a business. And every nonprofit organization is fundamentally a business with employees and financials and all these things that really were getting in the way of them delivering their product, which is their service to the community. So we started this nonprofit to provide support and back office support, really, and in the areas of accounting and HR and some IT, to try to help these organizations operate more effectively as businesses.
So why did you form as a nonprofit yourself?
Yeah, good question. The primary reason was that we knew that the cost was never going to be fully covered. At least this was our initial theory, was that the cost was never going to be fully covered by our fees, and that we were always going to need some subsidy from the community to be able to serve a lot of these organizations that just simply can't afford, even on an outsource basis, can't afford to hire a consultant or a firm. As it turns out, I think that is partially true. I think we've been able, actually, by getting really efficient at delivering service, we've been able to essentially break even every year. But we wanted to be available to the community to do programmatic and other kinds of activities that would be charitable in nature, which really differentiated us from a for-profit business. The other thing I just want to mention real quickly, and this is part of the challenge of being a private sector person coming into the nonprofit area and realizing that nonprofits really, there's kind of a distrust and a divide between the for-profit and nonprofit world. And nonprofits tend not to really want to work with for-profits. And so as I got into this, it became clear that we were going to have a tough time getting inside these organizations if they saw us as, you know, capitalists who were trying to profit at some level from the work we were doing. And it's an artificial conception, but unfortunately it's very true.
Now you guys are based in San Diego.
Correct.
And San Diego has a very vibrant nonprofit or philanthropic community. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it's kind of there's a great hub there for it?
There is a great hub here for it, and it's interesting. You know, I think that, you know, San Diego is a great place to live. I think people tend to come here very much with lifestyle in mind. And I think that there's a real desire to do good and to give back. And so there's a proliferation of nonprofit organizations here. I think the last count that I saw was over 10,000 nonprofit organizations at work at some level in the community. And that's great. The challenge is that, you know, it leads to a very cluttered marketplace. And although San Diego is a community that has a lot of money here, there's not a huge corporate community here. And I think if you compare the levels of giving in San Diego to Orange County or Los Angeles or certainly the Silicon Valley, the amount of money here is per capita, I think, lower than other places. So you end up having a lot of folks who want to do good and want to give back. They start a nonprofit and then they struggle to raise the necessary funds in order to operate it. But there's no shortage of people here who want to give back and want to volunteer and kind of want to do things. So it's a good community from that standpoint. I just think it's a challenging community with which to start something and then to find the funding to support it.
So before the call, we were talking a bit about millennials and how you're working more and more with them and kind of their unique view on things.
Right.
Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, it's been very interesting. You know, there's really a generational divide that's developing in the sector. I think millennials tend to look at philanthropy fundamentally different than their parents or their grandparents. I haven't met a lot of 20-somethings or early 30-somethings who think their idea of giving back is just writing a check and taking a tax deduction. They really want to get their hands dirty. They want to, you know, they want to participate. So we've seen really a plethora of both volunteer organizations cropping up that want to put millennials putting themselves to work either at the board level or fundamentally inside the organization at some capacity. And so we've tried to sort of help facilitate that. One of the programs we were working on in conjunction with Qualcomm is a skilled corporate volunteer program where groups of employees will get together and go into a nonprofit on a project basis and provide, whether it's a marketing plan or a technology roadmap or a strategic plan, and they'll actually spend 2 to 8 weeks inside the nonprofit providing substantive output that will help the organization. And then what we've seen so far is that a lot of these volunteers end up staying on as volunteers inside the organization, or they'll join the board. But it's definitely a different mentality from kind of the old school, nonprofit is charity and I'm going to write a check and I'm going to take a tax deduction.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's because, I think there's a blurring, particularly in the millennial generation, between what you do on your day job and your aspirations for your life. And I think a lot of millennials want to do well and do good at the same time and don't see necessarily their need for this bifurcation between how they make a living and what they do to give back. And so one of the trends that we're seeing a lot of now is kind of the social enterprise movement, where you have for-profit businesses that are very, very focused on social change. They will provide a service or a product to make money, but their whole orientation really is around using the proceeds for that to do something in the community, or their service or product that they're selling has a social benefit in and of itself. And I think that's the new wave of philanthropy. At least I hope it is, because I think, as we've seen with a lot of nonprofits that sort of lurch from, grant to grant and payroll to payroll, we're hoping to see more sustainable models in the sector. And I think millennials are leading that charge.
And you're talking about kind of like the TOMS model, right?
Yeah, exactly. The TOMS model. And social enterprise, is hard to define because there are many different forms of it, whether it's, Mission Edge is a nonprofit technically, but we consider ourselves a social enterprise because we derive most of our budget through revenue and through earned income. And there are lots of different ways of becoming a social enterprise, whether you're like Tom's, you're selling things and then you're giving, for every pair you sell, you give a pair away, or whether you're taking some of your earned income and you're putting it back into the community, or whether you are fully structured around a social goal and you've just found a way to support yourself through adding value to the community, having people pay you for it.
So tell us a bit about how it works for Mission Edge. With the profit model and how do you allocate that income?
Right. So, there really isn't much difference between a for-profit and non-profit other than what you do with the proceeds, right? And so as long as income is not unrelated to the activity, your charitable activity, nonprofits can and should be profitable at the end of the year. The question is, what do you do with that money? And so we plow every dollar that we make, obviously, back into the organization. We are starting to work now on the idea of our own sort of philanthropy to the community. So when we do run a surplus, one of the things that my staff has been talking about is what do you do with that surplus? And since we know that there are, you know, organizations, very good innovators and entrepreneurs in the community who need help but can't afford to pay for it, we like to, you know, our plan is ultimately to set aside some funding, you know, kind of as, I don't want to use the word charity, but as funding that we could be used proactively in the community to help those organizations that cannot provide, don't have the budget to pay for our services.
Very interesting. So you're able to kind of balance that with, it's basically like a free services that you're doing.
Yeah, it would be a free services. And one of the programs that we have here is kind of a, we have a startup incubator. It's technically called fiscal sponsorship, but one of the things that we're really interested in is seeding innovation. So, startup nonprofits and entrepreneurs who have an idea can join Mission Edge, use our 501c3. So we basically, you know, provide the sponsorship for them. They can take tax deductible donations under our EIN and our 501c3, and they can do their activities before they become an organization themselves. And so in that program, you know, we often bring in organizations that are very, very early, and we help them get started. We provide all the infrastructure and support. We provide some mentoring. But we also allow them to kind of test the market to decide, you know, do I need to be a nonprofit? Should I be a benefit corp? Should I be a C corp and simply give proceeds back? And it's a chance to delay the decision to become another nonprofit until they really understand what their business model is.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, recently we saw Kickstarter announce that they're now a public benefit corporation.
Right.
What's the significance of that? And even maybe for, I don't particularly know, what's the difference between a public benefit and maybe a strict nonprofit?
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit of a, so there's a little bit of marketing involved here in the sense that there isn't really much difference between a for-profit and a benefit corporation other than the fact that you're signaling to the community that you are going to give some of your proceeds, and there's, I think they have some criteria around it, back to the community. So, and again, it speaks a little bit to what I said earlier around the difficulty of for-profits working with nonprofits. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are a lot of organizations that should be for-profits, could very well do the activities for the community that they're doing as a C corp, but want to signal to the public that they're very mindful of the community. They have a social purpose, and by becoming a benefit corporation, it's kind of like saying, "Hey, you know, we're not a nonprofit, but we're not a pure for-profit. We are really focused on giving back and doing good."
But isn't there like pressure, like in a C corp? There's pressure from the board. You have a fiduciary duty to generate profit for the board. Yep. Does the B corp relieve you of that?
You know, I think it's a good question. It would be interesting to see, you know, I think the board obviously would have to be fully in line with the, you know, with this dual mission. Mm. I think it's a tough line to hoe. You know, I do, you know, understand why, you know, for-profit corporations struggle with providing too many benefits and services to the community because it is contrary to the fiduciary responsibility the board has to shareholders and, of course, the whole reason why the organization exists in the first place. So I think it takes kind of a particular kind of board and a kind of culture. You know, Patagonia, I think, is a B Corp. And those are organizations that have a deep cultural orientation towards, you know, giving back in some way. And I think your board would have to join that fully knowing that that is part of the culture and the mission of the organization.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are some, I guess, kind of trends or you know, evolutions in the nonprofit space that you're really excited about?
Well, I'm excited about this thing called impact investing, which is kind of, again, a sort of a newer investment model where investors who, you know, normally would probably put their money into for-profit ventures or of kind of investment vehicles are now looking at this sort of double bottom line investing, the idea that you can make money but also give back. And maybe they're willing to make some compromises on the rate of return for, you know, the fact that you are providing some social good. And so it's different than a straight sort of tax deductible donation. It's an investment that will have a return, but the return may be lower. And we're seeing more and more of that, certainly in the big investment sort of environments like New York and San Francisco in particular. There's been some initiatives. It's an interesting trend, and I think it's a trend that will open up investing and capital to a lot of different kinds of organizations. It will also help to speed this sort of social entrepreneurship movement because those kinds of impact investing vehicles are suited for B Corps or for-profit organizations that are also giving back.
Very cool. And is that something, is there any kind of stipulation that you need? Like, you know, do you have to be a registered investor or anything like that to be able to participate in something like that?
I don't think so. Again, it's a very kind of new field. I think, again, it's a little bit like, an angel investor, you know, who obviously doesn't have to be licensed to put money into a for-profit startup. I mean, there's no reason why an angel investor can't be a impact investor also. Mm. So it really depends on kind of having the target companies to invest in. And I think that's why I think this B Corp or Benefit Corp concept is going to be kind of interesting, because that's a natural target for an impact investing kind of vehicle.
What are some ways that kind of for-profit companies who are kind of just starting out, kind of embed this into their culture if they want to? What's a good way for them to get started?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good question. Of course, San Diego is a market with a lot of small to mid-sized companies, a lot of startup companies. This is not a Fortune 50 sort of hub here. So we've been having conversations with young, small organizations, maybe small to mid-market organizations, about how to empower their employees and how to do community giving. And whereas a company like Qualcomm or Sempra Energy has a pretty robust community service organization inside their company, and they give away money and a lot of times at employees' behest, you know, on an annual basis, a lot of smaller companies don't have that. So that's one of the reasons why this Mission Match, our skilled corporate volunteer program, kind of came about, which is a way for employers to start engaging their employees in community service, getting them out to sort of understand what the needs of the community are as a first step, and then kind of creating their own sort of vehicle for giving back, whether that's time or talent or treasure. I think that there's a real trend here, and I do think that studies have shown, and this is one of the things that's been kind of interesting for us to see, is that studies have shown that it's more than just charity for companies to get their employees, particularly their younger employees, involved in the community. And studies have shown now that that retention, job satisfaction, and retention rates have climbed in organizations that have active sort of community-facing programs where their employees can get out of the office and give back to the community at the same time that they have a decent paying job.
And what kind of ways are you seeing? Like, let's take San Diego. What ways are companies giving back, even at a small scale?
San Diego's been kind of great for kind of volunteer days, and partly it's because the weather here is good. But you see a lot of cleanup days, a lot of activities in the inner city here, where companies are getting their employees together and going up and cleaning things up and providing access to better health care and other kinds of activities depending on what the company does on a day-to-day basis. So that's been really interesting to see, and Mission Edge actually sponsors in our incubation program an organization called Hands on San Diego, which helps to facilitate those sort of volunteer days. But we're excited about some of the other things that are happening more on the mentoring and kind of give back side, where organizations are putting their people to work in more substantive ways. So not just sort of picking up trash, but actually taking some of their talent and helping solve problems in the community.
Interesting. Like at a city level or at kind of like a education level?
Yeah, education is a big one. And one of the other organizations that we've helped to launch, it's called the Education Synergy Alliance. And it really is around this concept of linked learning. One of the tasks that they've had is to bring in corporate community experts in education and actually link them to schools in San Diego in specific topic areas. So you see a lot of that in education. We're seeing more of it in health and wellness. And other kinds of activities where they're able to sort of teach people to get themselves out of the situation that they're in, as opposed to simply just writing a check.
Are there any organizations that you know of where you can be matched with whatever your professional skill set is with an organization that could use your time and your help?
Yeah, so there are a couple of national organizations. One is called the Taproot Foundation. Another is called Catch a Fire. Catch a Fire, I think, is based in New York. And these are similar programs to what we're doing here in San Diego on a larger scale. So if you have a talent for marketing and you want to give back and you have a specific passion for animals, you can potentially be matched with a skilled volunteer opportunity to do a marketing plan or whatever remotely for an organization in an area that you're really passionate about. So these are activities that I think are businesses that have popped up that I think are starting to help this sort of demand for people to get more engaged. What we're doing here is a little bit different because what I think one of the challenges is, particularly for smaller nonprofits, a lot of times they don't know what to do with the volunteer, and the volunteer will show up and they're not really sure how to put that volunteer to work with maximum effectiveness. And so what we're trying to do, given our client base here, is actually help make the match, but also help facilitate the work that's actually being done, so that it's work that is gratifying to the volunteer, but also has value to the nonprofit organization.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So can you tell everyone where they can keep up with you and Mission Edge online?
Yeah, sure. Our website is missionedge.org, and you can find out everything you need to know about us there. We'd love to hear from anybody. I'd love to hear feedback from anybody if they have ideas that might be of interest. We're always looking for new kernels of opportunity to kind of give back to the sector.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Ken. This was really great.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Rocket Ship Podcast. If you enjoyed it, we have tons of other awesome episodes on our website. Check them out, rocketship.fm.
And be sure to check out our app discount section, where we have discounts on products that we use every day, like Woo Themes, Wistia, Treehouse. Go to rocketship.fm/essentials and get your discounts today. So soft it goes, the world.
Words I speak, so take.